Hello, everybody. It's your girl, Cheryl, and the Old School News Crew coming to you one more time here to talk about all the pressing and controversial issues of the day happening all across the country. And you know, there's so many, it's hard to keep up, but we're just going to jump right in and talk about everything that's on our minds. And I got to let you know who's with us with the Old School News Crew. We have Mike Easterling.
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, you sound like you're in a good mood. And we have, well, that's always a good thing to start off with. We've got Sheila Gaskins.
Hey, y'all.
We have Winston Thomas.
Hey, Mike kind of took my opening with that hello, hello, hello. But hey, everybody.
That's okay. As long as everybody is, like I said, all ready to throw your opinions out there. I don't know, you know, I talk about things being controversial, but I don't know if everything really is. But I was hesitant about getting vaccinated for the coronavirus. My thing was I was going to wait and see how it went for a little while. You know, anybody I know had any side effects? Did they find out something different once they start injecting people? You know, whatever. But I got my first injection this week. And I got to say, I actually felt it made me feel, not physically, but more emotionally, I guess. I felt excited and I felt happy, like I was doing something, you know, after a whole year just sitting around being quiet and, you know, locked down in your house, like you're hiding from it. I felt like I was, you know, taking action and it made me feel good to take it. So I'm really anxious to take the second shot and get myself fully vaccinated. And I mean, I understand all the arguments pro and con, but for me, it really did make a difference. I don't know.
So Cheryl, are you sure that was a vaccination or something else you got? You feeling all good?
You know
with
what?
Superpowers and all. I just want to make sure were you at the right place?
You know what? Now that you mention it, there was some savory looking, unsavory looking folks in the room at the time. So I think I took the right thing, you know. No, because it was a really nice setup. They were so efficient. I was impressed by that.
Right. There's no telling. So you going back for some more. So it could be. Anyway, I work in the school system, and I thought that my organization that I work for did a wonderful job taking care of us during the whole vaccine thing. They took really good care of us during the whole COVID situation overall, very loving and caring and set us up in a nice space and then talked afterwards. And we had t-shirts when we finished. It was almost like a Hollywood movie premiere. Oh, maybe that's just me.
We got t-shirts,
we got pictures, we had candy. It was really pleasantly surprising. And I just heard on the news today that adverse effects, 1 out of 28K. So that's pretty good.
So I was glad. Impressed because they had little golf courts that they had free parking and golf carts that took you where you had to go and, you know, and then brought you back. And I was very comfortable. So I was impressed by that.
Yeah, and my mom got, and she's 87, she got both of her shots. So, you know, I just think it's something good, so.
Yeah, feels like we're moving forward. And I think, Mike, I know you said you were already fully vaccinated, right?
I'm fully vaccinated and I will be, I guess, fully immune Friday.
Oh, cool.
The 2 weeks after, that'll be the 16th.
So you're going out to a party after that?
Shots. I took the Pfizer shot.
So you're going to a club after that or what?
I haven't been to a club. I do not know how long. So I'm not going to.
Well, just someplace with a lot of people.
My club days are way in the rearview mirror.
Mike be hanging out at the Cotton Club.
You're taking her back too far.
I got a cotton candy club. That's where I be.
Now, Winston, I know you're not so hot up on this whole vaccination thing.
Only for me. You know, I actually recognize that it has to be done for society as a whole. It has to be done. Everybody has to know one way or the other. It's just that my entire life, I've always listened to a second little voice. I call it intuition or whatever you like. And for whatever reason, I keep hearing it. So for myself, whether I'm that one in 28K or whatever, my mind tells me it's best that I wait and see what happens to large groups of people after they get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal. You know, one of the things that does concern me, I noticed the media now, they have really turned into, I saw a big program last night on CNN, and they're really acting like the people that are hesitant are just crazy, out of their minds. There's no reason for anyone to not have any confidence. But, you know, if you really look at the way this thing came out from the beginning, if you remember when Fauci and the whole deal came out, they told everyone, Fauci told everyone that, oh no, it will take at least a year, if not more, to come out with a vaccine. Does everybody remember that? And Trump, even Trump, he came out and said, oh, I'll have one by the election. Everyone was like, oh no, he's ridiculous. He's lying.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, 4 or 5 months later, everybody's got a vaccine. All right. So that's an inconsistent thing. I guess what I'm getting at is there's been a lot of inconsistent claims about this situation. And whether people remember them or they build in people's heads, there are a lot of reasons for people to be hesitant. So, you know, it's sad to me to see what's happening, the way they're framing people who are hesitant to be just crazy or out of their minds. There's some good reasons to be hesitant.
Well, it seems to me that I've heard they really are acknowledging people's hesitancy. Like they understand why you would be hesitant, particularly like in the Black community, given this country's relationship with medical issues.
Oh no, I'm not even including that. I don't even adhere to that. So there's some logical reasons. If you really think about this, the way it came down the pike, there are reasons for hesitancy. And again, I recognize it has to be done. So I'm not one that's telling people don't do it. It's a personal decision for me. It has to be done. In other words, I can't even reach my conclusion unless large groups of people have gone on and gotten vaccinated. I just don't want to be one of the first. It's sort of like buying the first Apple phone. There's always quirks in it, right? You know, every time an Apple phone comes out, you should not be the first one in line to get it. You need to wait.
No, I understand that. That's why I wait.
You don't want to be the first.
Right. So I'm just waiting. I got some bad feelings, but let's hope not. Let's hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. But I did read somewhere where the thing about the speed, because that's what had concerned me at first. It was just too fast. You know, you got diseases that they've been working on for years, and, you know, and all of a sudden they just come up with a vaccine for this one within a couple of months, you know, so I had a real problem with that. But I think I heard this on one of the TV shows, that this was the only vaccine that the whole world, scientists from all around the world worked on it at the same time. So you had the best minds across the globe all working on it, as opposed to, you know, certain specific countries working on it. And so that was one of the reasons why they were able to have a certain amount of success as fast as they did.
I wish they'd apply that same focus to heart disease and cancer. You know?
Yeah, I know. So do I. So that was my thing, you know. But I have to say, you know, now that I've even just had the one shot, I actually feel like, you know, hey, there is a light at the end of this tunnel, you know.
Cheryl, you're talking about because I had the same feeling. What it talks about more than anything else is the emotional, the way this thing has hit people emotionally, okay? I mean, people crying after they got there, have video people crying after they got their shot. You do feel like you've been carrying something around for a year, okay? And finally I can put down, I'm carrying around like 100 pounds worth of weight, and now I can at least put down about 40 pounds of it. I'm still carrying stuff. I'm still carrying masks. I'm still carrying social distancing. I'm still carrying not gathering in bars, okay? But I'm not carrying as much of what I gotta be careful if I go there, if I don't put my mask on, if I walk by somebody that have a mask on. That kind of has been like, but I'm still carrying some weight. That's kind of what I feel. I think some people, depending on how heavy that was on you, you know, whether it was 100-pound weight on you or 50 or 10, everybody's got, I think, a little relief having the shot. I don't think anybody should be at zero, however. We still
You're right. That is a certain amount of, that's a good analogy. Yeah, that's true. Because before, you know, and when you look back on it and realize it's been a year that this has been going on. And that it's been a year since people have seen other people or, you know, people in their families or, I mean, even literally touched other people. Yeah. I mean, certain people, you know, but when you think on that, that's really quite remarkable. You know, we've been through it, but, you know, to realize it's been a full year and that's going to keep going if you don't get this vaccination. So, I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of light, you know, with this warmer months coming up and we can go outside and, you know, that's a little bit easier to do and go to some events maybe that are outdoors and, you know, that helps. But I think the vaccine gives you an even more sense of security. And that's just a great feeling to have. Winston, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Winston.
Oh, Cheryl, you've known me 40 plus years. And what could be my problem? You know, I've always had a Superman complex anyway, correct? I've never felt like I was in any danger. I still have no concept that this thing would have affected me one way. Now I could be, you know, I could be a simpleton, you know, who knows? But I've always felt whoever got this, it wasn't going to be me. And I've walked through my entire life that way. So maybe that's part of my problem, my psychosis.
I wouldn't call it a problem though. I'm sorry, Cheryl.
No, Mike and then Sheila, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just saying I wouldn't call it a problem. We are going to respond to things according to our makeup, okay, our psychological makeup. And so if you have that kind of mindset, some people, you know, have a Superman ideology, the way they carry themselves. Some people have an Einstein way. They think they see themselves as very smart. There's nothing they can't understand, et cetera, et cetera. So I wouldn't call it a problem. That's just the way you live your life and you're being consistent with it. And the good thing we still have, even as Black people, we still do have choice.
And I'm the total opposite. I'm the total opposite. I can catch a cold. Somebody could, I can catch stuff and won't even be in the room. And I can walk away with stuff. So, and I know that about me and having being overweight and having diabetes and glaucoma, you know, I'm paranoid. I had the second shot, but I am still very conscious as if I didn't have a shot. And the other question I was curious about, did people make money from this?
Yes, indeed.
I'm just curious because nobody talks about the money that's been made or have not been made as a result of the vaccine.
It's just not being made from us. I mean, we're not paying anything for it.
We are. It's not out of pocket. We're paying.
Well, I mean, when they talk about the United States making a purchase of a vaccine, you know, that's the government paying pharmaceutical companies as opposed to, you know, like I said, I didn't get a bill when I went. So, so if that's the way you're talking about, but I know that there's money being made and affecting a lot of these decisions too. But you know, I did want to just say about Winston's comment, like he said, I've known Winston since college. And he has always considered himself physically superior to all others. I mean,
wow.
Yeah, and that's cool.
I shouldn't say it like that. Because he's always been an athlete and, you know, and was into weight training and all that kind of, always took all these vitamins and, you know, just all that kind of stuff. So I just.
it's how you live, how this fits into how you live. Winston and Cheryl seem to be. Sheila seems to be on two different ends of the spectrum. I'm someplace in the middle. You know, most stuff hasn't happened to me, but I'm like, but I'll be just the one that it happens to. So I can see, I put me in the middle of those two. I don't get a cold all the time. I'm not sick. I've never broken a bone. The only time I've ever been in the hospital was to have a knee, with my knees and my back and my joints, but never have I been ill. So I'm kind of like Winston on that perspective. On the other hand, stuff happens to me sometimes. I don't know how the hell it happens. Mm-hmm. And so that part of me said, like, how did this happen to me? So that part of me says, get the shot. And that's where I am. I see both sides. I'm in the middle.
I'm sort of experiencing the Sinbad path of aging. I don't know if you saw, one time he was talking about getting older and how, you know, stuff just starts falling apart. I mean, you can be standing in the bathroom in the mirror and just all of a sudden, you know, your leg just gives out on you, you know, for no reason, you know, and other than that, you're getting older. So I'm sort of in that place where stuff is just happening out the blue. So, but at least this is a way, you know, we're all fighting back and it feels better. But, you know, I want to give Joe Biden some credit, because the thing that I find really interesting about this is that, you know, Joe Biden is in his first 100 days, is really accomplishing a lot. And the fact that he's able to get these vaccinations, these vaccines out in a distribution method that's so successful, that is really impressive. But the funny thing is, so everybody is congratulating Joe, but Trump could have actually had this in his win column had he done this differently. The vaccine was developed back in November or December. And if he had had a distribution plan then and got it out in December or January before Biden was inaugurated, everybody would be looking at this as Trump did this great thing, got this vaccine done, got it out to the people. And he could have gone out in a blaze of glory, you know, having accomplished something, but he was so busy.
Well, he might not have gone out. He might not have gone out if he'd had this.
Well, yeah, if the vaccine had happened before the election, that it probably would have been closer, but he still could have gained something from it. And you know, he's just so busy telling the big lie and complaining about it, you know, sort of bite your nose to spite your face. He really could have accomplished something, at least something.
But we were talking about mindsets, and his mindset was that, you know, America doesn't get sick. You know, In the book that his niece wrote, they talked about how sickness was a weakness. And so they really couldn't get sick.
But he did get sick. He actually had the virus himself. Yeah, so he may not have wanted everybody else to know.
But he was raised in the mindset that sickness is a weakness. So he did not take it seriously when he knew about it in January. So I see why he ended up the way he ended up, because he didn't think it was something that could affect him at all anyway, let alone the whole country.
But you know, and I'm not sure if I mentioned this in a previous podcast, but years ago I saw this movie, and I think it's called How to Succeed in Business. It's an old movie. I think this is our movie. And in the movie, this guy is having an affair, and he's in his house, in his bed with another woman, and his wife comes home. And she opens the bedroom door and she sees him in there with this woman in the bed. So his wife is, oh my God, what are you doing? Who is this? And the two of them get out of the bed and they act like the other woman's not there. So the husband is talking to the wife as if nothing's going on. He's like, hi dear, how are you? And she's like, well, what's going on? Who is this? He's like, who's who? What are you talking about? So the woman just puts her clothes on and slowly, you know, just walks out of the house, and he just acts like she was never there. And they keep talking until the point where the husband and wife, the other woman actually isn't there. So it's this idea that if you just keep telling a lie, if you just stick to it, you know, by the end of the scene, the wife is like, was anybody here? Am I crazy? Did I make that up?
Gaslighting.
Yeah. So it's sort of like every time I hear Trump or these people with this lie, you know, that it just makes me think of that. If you just deny something long enough, people will believe that. Or if you just say something over and over again. But it just makes me wonder, you know, Trump could have benefited so much more. Well, I think maybe not so much more, but I think he could have benefited, since he did have the virus. Everybody knows that, you know, if he had come up with the distribution plan, it would have looked good for him. But instead, like I said, Biden is doing doing a lot of things. I don't know if it's a great job, but, you know, he's got this 50-50 Congress. Do you think he's going to be able to get other things passed? You got this COVID relief passed, but as far as this infrastructure plan, or go ahead, Mike.
Well, I hope so, but I think it's going to be tough for him until we get to the 22s, the midterms, and just see whose mindset has actually changed. Whose mindset dominates the Republican Party? Is it the Trumplicans, okay, or is it the old school Mitt Romney, John McCain Republicans? That's what's going to change. There's a lot of people who say, and I've read about, you see stories about people who are coming out of this trance that they were in, are realizing that they've been punked by the businessman. I saw one video, the guy said, I was so excited to have a businessman running the country. I knew the country was going to be better. Even though I wasn't really a big fan of him as a person, he said, this guy's not a businessman. He's just a con man. And he said, so, you know, this is why I got, why he didn't vote. So let's see how many people come to their senses. You know, karma is catching up with the Matt Gaetzes of the world. So let's see. I think it's going to be, it'll be told after the midterms. Mm. That's what I see that. Until then, that's 50-50 is tough.
Yeah. I think Joe and several other people, they have this desire for things to go back. Ironically, you know, Trump used to talk about making America great again. Joe has that same desire or delusion, I'll have to call it at this point. He really thinks we can get back to a point where, you know, we're being cooperative with each other and hearing each other out, you know, the old debate things out. We're not going back to that. Those days are gone. And he has to accept that these people have to be defeated. There is no negotiation with them. They have to be defeated, and they have to constantly be defeated. And once Joe accepts that, or the Democrats accept that, they just need to steamroll ahead and, you know, take whatever criticism they get, but make sure that the things they accomplish benefit the entire country, not just one political view. Everything they do has to be obviously beneficial to the country as a whole. And if they'll do that, I think they will eventually get majority support from the people.
So so the fact that, what is it, the reconciliation? Is that the situation where they can go back to the Congress and try to get the 50-50 vote with the vice president breaking the tie, the fact that they can now do that more often than they thought they could?
Yeah, as long as Joe Manchin or whatever his name is, as long as he doesn't throw a fly in the ointment every time they want to do something. They didn't bank on him.
Well, they knew who he was and what he does, what he stands for. I don't know if they're surprised.
Evidently not. He seems to be a double agent of sorts in my mind.
He's an old Southern Democrat in my mind.
But he always...
That was scary.
What? What'd you call him, Brooke?
An old Southern Democrat.
Yeah, double agent. I hear you.
Yeah, the Democrats, you know, around the time of Lincoln and up until the 50s, were actually the more racist, backwards, conservative party.
Correct.
They were.
The Dixiecrats, yep.
Yes, and the KKK started as a result of all of that.
Mm-hmm. So Joe Manchin is just, to me, kind of a throwback to that in disguise. Like, he wears the Democrat label to get that support, but his mentality is off.
But you know what I find odd? The Democrats are in a position right now where they have the House, the Senate, and the presidency. And that's only going to hold for a certain amount of time. And it's tenuous at that, because they don't really have a majority in the Senate. But they have the opportunity right now, at least for another year, to pass whatever they want to pass. And they've already been through what it's like when they are not in that situation. So it seems to me that for there to be any discussion at all amongst the Democrats, they need to just pass everything. Anything that Joe says, just do it. You know, I mean, work on little areas, but just pass it and get it done, you know, because otherwise the alternative is the Republican situation, which we know is going to be bad. So at least with whatever the Democrats come up with, they may not agree totally as a group, but they're not that far off. But if they go with the, let the Republicans have their way, it's going to be totally another direction. I'm sorry, go ahead, Brooke, what were you going
to
say?
So strangely, to agree with Winston.
You all were saying that a lot more lately. You
how,
know
ridiculous. That? How ridiculous.
I know, right? But I mean, kind of with regard to what he was saying in terms of recognizing that there is this beast that will not go away, because honestly, it's stubbornly holding on to whatever vestiges of life it can in terms of this very white male dominated Republican Party. But, you know, to sort of throw a monkey wrench in your thinking, Cheryl, if you go back just to 2008, we had total control of Congress and passed a whole bunch of stuff real quick, fast, and in a hurry in Barack Obama's first 2 years of his presidency, including ACA, which is exactly how the Republicans got back in charge, because that prompted a revolt from the other side and they came out swinging and ended up taking over. And here we are, what, 13, 11, however many years later. And, you know, they're still clinging, because for whatever reason, those first 2 years of the Obama-Biden administration spooked, not just because Obama was Black, but because a lot of things that people perceived as socialist and anti-American went through very quickly without any holds barred, because who was there to stop them?
Well, you know, ironically, when the majority in this country does vote, if you look at the numbers, Democrats do outnumber them. Last time I looked, it was like by 12 million. So conceivably, when we all get out, which is kind of what we're seeing now, we do outnumber them. They should not win major elections ever in this country if everyone is out voting.
But they know that. That's why they've put in these voter suppression situations because of that. Because the only thing is they're also affecting their own voters as well, because they can't say just Democrats have to suffer under this voter suppression. It's everybody, but they are picking areas that especially affect people of color. And
They know the math.
Right. So, but they know, and we've even heard a couple of Republicans say, you know, by mistake, I think, but they have actually said on camera things like, you know, the Republicans know, you know, we're not going to ever win an election if we don't do something, you know, just because of the numbers. So I'm not sure about, you know, without the voter suppression and as strong as that's going right now, the way that they are laying that out across the country. And anytime you can pass a law that says that you can't give people water in the line, or we're going to cancel all Sunday voting, or we're going to take all the drop boxes out of this half of the county. I mean, that's the fact that stuff even gets passed is just a remarkable thing. I don't understand that. I mean, other than saying this is a Republican governor and he can sign this, you know, I'm just amazed at that we're back at this place.
I think, again, kind of going back to the whole, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans change faces with the wind. The thing is, you know, what is it that they stand for, right? So if we're looking at people wanting to be more progressive, because, you know, to Winston's point, Democrats outnumbering Republicans in terms of being, you know, registered or what have you. But then there's also those people that you see that you don't really know what they are, because there's the uptick of the independent voter as well, which is teetering on a third of the, you know, registered voting population.
That's me.
And so you've got people who consider themselves to be independent, but those independents may lean left or they may lean right, and you don't. So the question then becomes, it's not so much about the name that's on the ticket. It's what is it that they're voting for? And within the Democrat Party, which has the tendency currently to appeal more to the liberal progressive mindset, if you are rocking with moderate to liberal and progressive, right, then you're also bucking up against traditional and conservative. And those moderates in the middle are really where the weight of the country is. And so as we're trying to push things further and further to the left, which, and it's really interesting, especially having this conversation with Black people, because Black people tend to be, honestly, more socially conservative than a lot of people. I mean, we tend to be socially conservative. And yet, in order to vote for our best interest, we tend to join forces with liberal-minded white people, because liberal-minded white people have to let go of traditional thinking and conservative thinking in order to embrace the notion that Black is equal, which seems, I mean, all of that's just crazy in and of itself. Also, so Republican, Democrat, it all made no difference to me. I'm just like, what do you stand for?
Well, you know, right now the Republicans seem to just stand for anything, against anything, not really for anything. How can I say it? They're for any way to be against Democrats. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, to say something is dead on arrival, I mean, to not even look at it because it just came from you, that's just such a ridiculous stance to take that, and clearly nothing is going to get done that way, you know? And I mean, the world is changing. You have to admit that. The world cannot continue to run the way it has been running, you know? And not because of right and wrong, but just because new technologies, there are more people, I mean, all kinds of reasons. And so to think that to make the left and all the changes that the left presents, like the boogeyman, is things are gonna have to change. And Republicans and conservatives who keep trying to make things stay the same, that just doesn't, that's not even logical.
Sustainable.
Yeah, so yeah, because my family is a Republican on my father's side, and they're heavy religious. And, you know, I can hear my aunts talk a lot about what they don't like to see. And if Trump was doing something, she would text us and say things. And the Republicans are just anti-change. They have this religious base. They have these set of morals that they strongly are holding on to. And to see the world change is very disconcerting to them. I think that's the right phrase of using that word, because that was the first time I used it. Hopefully I'm in a group that don't know. But
that anyway, was correct.
But thank you. But anyway, so yeah, they are a party that's no longer effective, and they're seeing this change, but they don't want to do anything about it. Even when it comes to the way they look, they're still standing behind white males in white. And if you look at the Democrats, every time they stand up or they're in a group, you at least see varied colors of folk. When you look at the Republicans, you see white still. And that's so old and antiquated. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to be like, look, y'all need to switch something up. Get Beaver or somebody to join their team, because
I'm amazed that that visual alone doesn't mean more. Because you're right. Every time you see, and particularly at the conventions, you know, they didn't have the in-person conventions last year, but in previous years, when you look at when they scan the crowd, not only is it almost all white, it's almost all white males, you know, and they're almost all white males of a certain age. So it's really, you know, it's very clear. And when you show the Democratic convention or any Democratic gathering, like you said, it's not just a mix of people of color, but of ages and, you know, all kinds of, and sometimes maybe that diversity is too much for people to take. I can understand that. you know, particularly the more we hear about transgendered people in particular, for example, that, I mean, first it was just, I would say, homosexuality. That was a big leap for a lot of people to take. Could they, you know, could, oh, you know, so-and-so's gay. Can I deal with that? Okay, now we've gone further than that. We're into transgender. So I can understand why that group of people, the GOP, would have some issues if they're made up primarily of older white men, you know, and I don't expect them to make decisions that would be, that would be in favor of that community. But that doesn't mean that that community is gonna go away. They're still gonna be there, you know? So at some point, you're gonna have to acknowledge that our world is just more diverse than it used to be. Our country is just more diverse than it used to be. And I really would like to hear from the Black Republicans in Congress. They're very quiet. You know, their party is doing a lot of things that's not, I saw that face, Brooke. But, you know, I would like to hear from Tim Scott? Is that what his name is? Tim? Okay, because it's a jazz artist. Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I would like to hear what he has to say.
Well, all I know is I don't know what Tim Scott has to say, but it's very ironic the position that they're even taking on vaccines. I believe that's going to end up putting a nail in their coffin, even towards midterms, because the vast majority of this country is, you know, about getting rid of this virus. And if you look at the red states, Florida specifically, they're talking about no mask, no vaccine passport,
mask.
Right, nothing. And I know, you know, Brooke, you spoke to the independents. They're not going for that, you know. So that may be the line that gets drawn for a lot of people and gets the Republicans rejected.
To Cheryl's point, man, the irony of their take on that is mind-boggling. These are the people who want to hurry up and open up every daggone fool thing and don't really care, like, but then they don't want to get the virus either. It's like they just don't care. They just want to go out and do whatever all the time because that's what they feel like doing. It is mind-boggling.
Yeah,
but then they don't want anybody else to do what they want to do. I'm just saying.
But even if their goal is an economic one, okay, we just want to open up the country. We just want everybody to be able to do what they wanted to do. Okay, even if that's your goal, if the only way to do that is to address the virus, then you would have to address the virus. I mean, what is the point of just opening up, you know, just for the hell of opening up? I mean, that doesn't even make any sense. I mean, if you're trying to reach a specific goal, you know, unless your goal is to just kill off a lot of people, which it could very well be, you know.
Well, that works for them too, if you think about it. That would be a good solution to a lot of their problems, especially if a lot of us passed away.
And it was a lot of us who were dying, at least in the beginning. I'm not sure what the statistics are now, but in the beginning, the majority of people who were dying were people of color, and you know,
it's so that
was. So you know, and like I said, I learned a long time ago, and again, as once sort of Trump came into office, anything is possible. I don't shake my head at anything from aliens coming to the, you know, really, I don't shake my head no to anything at this point. I believe anything could happen.
Cardi
so
B
that was
president.
The goal, huh?
I said Cardi B for president.
It could happen. I don't have any doubt that could happen at this point.
Hey, speaking of that, doesn't she look terrible on that commercial with, what was it, Mike Myers and what's
the
guy?
I haven't seen it.
I'm the one for Uber?
No, the one.
The food.
Right.
Not Grubhub, something like that.
Yeah, she looks bad.
Well, to me, she always looks like that. I mean, I don't mean bad, but she's always made up like that, you know. You think she looks bad, like
unhealthy?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I hadn't noticed that. Okay, and I haven't seen that commercial lately, so I'll have to check into that. Cardi B's health. Okay,
what's the guy's name? Was that Dana Carvey playing?
Yeah, Dana Carvey and Mike Myers.
Yeah, not that they look so healthy, but she looks bad too.
They're old Winston.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
That's what it is.
And they're men.
It's been a while.
Be a sex idol.
Wayne's World has been on. That's been a while.
Yeah.
I don't think Cardi B was even born when they did that.
No.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a took the conversation a totally different direction.
Sorry.
I don't know how to come back from that. Well, you know what? I do, because
next topic.
The next topic was actually
Lieutenant.
It was Max Gates, Congressman Max Gates.
Oh, that's a perfect segue.
Yes. from the sexual exploits of Cardi B to those of Max Gates, okay? So there's always a connection, all right? Now, you know, and not that I'm a fan of his or anything like that, but should we even be talking about him? You know, because I'm not sure. I mean, he's not been charged with anything. And depending on whether what he did was a crime or not, you know, I mean, other than he's just maybe an asshole of a guy. Or
did you just say that? What's this podcast? You're gonna have to beep that later.
Do I can say that.
It's your thing.
Y'all couldn't say that. No, okay, because that's the first time I've done that. But okay. But I mean, he's just they have described him as being just a very unliked adolescent.
Let's just say Trump-like. He's very Trump-like.
Well, no, I mean, but even separate from the Trump trait.
That was adolescent, yeah.
Yeah, that he has always distributed, displayed a lot of adolescent behavior, you know, showing pictures of naked women on his cell phone, or talking about showing pictures of women he slept with. And I mean, this is a 38-year-old man. I mean, doing this in the Capitol to his coworkers who were 40, 50 years old. I mean, that's something that young boys do, I thought. I mean, I could be wrong.
Very Trump-like.
Be promoting that. I'm just saying.
Trump was 60 very on the Trump-like. Bus. Talk about they'll let you do anything. Keep that right? in mind. Yeah.
Ashley, you're right about that. Thank I had you. Forgotten about that.
And you should hear some of the things Prince Philip has said now that, you know, that's coming out. But I'm sorry, I'm digressing. No.
So is it just that men are adolescents throughout their lives? Is that it?
Okay, so let's go with the whole white male Republican thing. We're back to the Republican Party, right? These are good old boy, white boys who, for as long as this country has been in existence, have been able to put down women and put down people of different races and call them whatever they want and do to them whatever they want. And they've been doing it. Winston, I know this is sounding so like you, but it's like they've been doing whatever they want for centuries across continents. Like, they have no sense. And yet somehow or another, when they continue to act like they have no sense, it makes the news. And I'm just like, no, but for real, seriously, that's where we want to go with this. Yeah, we shouldn't be giving them any attention. It needs to be ignored. Although he should not be in office.
Well, okay, that's
sure.
What's my question.
Sure, yeah, in regard to your original question, if we were actually doing things properly, regardless of what we think about Matt, he is being tried in the media, which happens to us all the time. So I'm not, you don't hear pity in me, but I do recognize that he hasn't been charged for anything. So the length they've gone to make him appear guilty before he's actually had his day in court is wrong. So the media has definitely got it in for him.
But I mean, I don't think that they have so much, I think they're more displaying who he is and how that's not cool, as opposed to what crimes he has committed. I don't see them pushing that because they don't have the facts on that yet. They're not being that, definite about him being with a 17-year-old or him doing, you know, sex trafficking, because those are criminal offenses. But they are trying him, not so much trying him, that's not the term I want to use, but they are exposing him as a low-life kind of guy, which that alone can get him out of the Congress. So they don't have to convict him of a crime to get him out of the Congress.
Yeah, well, there are billboards around the country saying Matt Gaetz wants to date your child, stuff like that. I mean, It's crazy.
Well, that could be accurate. I mean, That's, you know, so.
Has he filed any defamation suits? Because that's kind of telltale. Because if you can't file a defamation suit against somebody who says that, well, it's typically because there's some truth to it.
Well, see, I believe that there's truth to it, or they wouldn't have brought it up. I don't think the New York Times or the Washington Post would have gone near it, printing it, if they didn't already know for a fact. It's sort of like the thing they say about in court. You don't ask a question of the somebody on the stand unless you already know the answer, you know? So I'm pretty sure they already know that he did have sex with this 17-year-old girl, and they know who she is, and she's already made a statement, and they just haven't put it out there yet. They're gonna let him hang himself by keep saying, oh no, keep denying it. And then, because then that makes him a liar on top of everything else. So, I don't know.
Hey, whatever happened to Como? Yeah. Name Como?
See, nobody even cares what happened to Como anymore.
Don't you love the media?
You know, I'm telling you that the news has moved so fast, they don't even care about Asian hate anymore. The Asians were getting their butts kicked. And we just stopped talking about that. Okay, we got something else.
I still hear a lot about Asian hate, but that could be a Howard County thing.
I'd like to congratulate Hideki Matsuyama for winning, first Asian to win the Masters. And I think, you know, I'm a sports fan, and I think it's ironic that it comes at this time with the AAPI thing. I don't know what they're going to make it, one way or another, but while we're talking about that, I think that's a significant moment.
Wait, isn't Tiger Asian?
Yes.
Well, he's Kablan Asian.
Yes.
Well, I'm saying.
Kablan Asian. This guy is Japanese.
100% is what you're saying.
100% Japanese, yeah. He's not an American Asian, like Colin Matsukura. This guy's a Japanese. So, and this time, I think it's very good that happens. It's very ironic that it happened during the time that we're going through this Asian hate thing, whatever we want to call it, AAPI.
That's funny. I did just hear something yesterday about the Asian hate and Black perpetrators.
Just took the words out of my mouth. Oh, go ahead. Okay.
You go ahead. You talk about it.
No, that's where it's about to morph to. It's not just that there's been hate against Asians. Now they're going to focus on Blacks hate Asians.
Notice how quickly the Black ones get caught. White ones still running around, around free. Black ones caught right away.
Correct.
Because they're on the video cameras. I mean, saw that video.
Some of the white ones.
Yeah. That Black guy attacking the Asian woman, the older Asian woman.
Wasn't he just in prison for doing something to his own mother?
Yeah. He killed his mother.
Killed her, yeah.
Black man killed his mother. I don't even know why he was out on the streets.
That's another topic, but that's true. I agree.
But I do know that also, and this is an aside, that they fired the security people who were in the, who watched it and didn't do anything, who actually closed the door while the woman was being attacked. They fired them. So, but the point really is that, you know, the news cycle moves very quickly. And the mass shootings that had happened, like just a few days apart, the Asian spas, and then a few days later, the thing in Boulder, you know, because I was wondering what happened in Boulder. I mean, they never sort of closed that up. They arrested the guy, but
shootings took place. That was more in a mass shooting cycle. And then you had the mass shooting with the football player down in South Carolina, and now they're getting ready to slice his brain up for CTE.
Right, but I heard that on one news show once. It's like the news is just moving so fast that things are not even staying in the news that long before something else comes. I mean, what are you gonna do? You got to report on it, but we don't even go back to it to find out, you know, what happened. Because I only heard about the football player like yesterday or the day before, something like that, and only heard it on like one newscast once.
Well, here's the thing. When Joe Biden, he spoke a few days ago, and he pointed out that there have been 800 shootings just since the first Asian attack. So
800.
Yeah, so there's a lot of shootings that don't even qualify because of the body count. You know, if it's only 3-4 people, that doesn't even make news anymore. You got to at least get up to, you know, 8. And then, you know, then it takes over the TV for a few hours. That's how crazy and off the hook the country has gotten with this shooting thing.
But the fact that there's never any effort to change anything, and I think in this, in Biden's executive orders that he just signed, one of them was to outlaw these the guns that you can order and put together that ghost don't guns. Have, what are they called, Mike?
Ghost guns.
Right, okay. Now, I don't see how there could be an argument against that, you know. I'm sure they'll come up with one. I'm sure the NRA or the Republicans, but I don't know. I mean, but that would be the same case as the guns that are, I got this wrong the other time. What was it, the AR?
15s.
15, the war, rifle for war that, you know, there's no reason to have that. And there's they seem to be able to justify it.
Totally wrong.
You know, so I mean, how do you justify a ghost gun?
Well, I mean, criminals have rights. Criminals have rights. So I'm being facetious, you know.
I know.
Well, they do.
We all have rights. They're unalienable.
They're American citizens too. I mean, but then George Floyd is supposed to be served and protected. So we can,
That's the interesting thing about the Second Amendment to me. It's like how that became a right is just sort of mind-boggling. I think we're one of only two nations in the world that actually articulate artillery as a Second Amendment right and arms, right? Because arms change. And so at the end of the day, if you have a right that says, and here's again, the complete detachment from the initial Constitution, which is why Alexander Hamilton led the charge in writing the Federalist Papers, because the Constitution was written and it was so sketchy. And yet that's the basis for everything, but it's so sketchy. It's literally a sketch. There's nothing filled in, there's no color, there's no like details. It's a mess, it's a hot mess. But the Second Amendment, you know, there's a couple of clauses in there about in order to form a well-regulated militia, but that never gets brought up. It's always about not infringing somebody's right to have arms. And so the second you outlaw any type of weaponry, you are infringing upon someone's right to bear arms if you disregard the context of in order to form a more regulated militia. So if you take that out of context and you're left with the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, then, yeah, no, you shouldn't be able to
But if the effort is not to outlaw the ghost gun, but to regulate it, I mean, I think part of the issue is that those guns have no serial numbers. There's no way to tell that somebody purchased it. If that was in play, then, you know, that might be acceptable. But the idea that you can order this gun and assemble it and nobody have any record of it, that's not acceptable. So,
well, you know, a great example of the alternative of this, and forgive me if I mispronounce the name of the country. What is it, Myanmar? Is that correct?
Myanmar.
Formerly Burma. Well,
yeah, you know, I was watching an interview with some of those people and their biggest, regret is that they don't have any weapons. So they're totally at the mercy of this government that's taken over there. And, you know, we can compare ourselves to that. I mean, not that the weapons that the average citizen in the United States has is any match for the US government, because guns just aren't.
Thank you.
In today's world, guns are about the most primitive weapon there is when it comes to serious war. But I think it does give the citizens a fighting chance, at least in theory.
Not right, okay. In theory alone. You know, and I got into this debate over the right to bear arms and the accessibility of armament that would be a match to the military. And, you know, it really came down to whether or not you had enough money. Right? So you could purchase and assemble and build nuclear warheads. You could do a whole lot of things. If the government finds out about it, the government can also go after you. But it's more about a national security thing than it is about anti-constitution, right? So it gets really interesting in terms of whether or not one has the means like your right to bear arms is infringed upon your right to access the capital that can purchase them. Because how many people are, you know, walking around with a rocket launcher? Or it's not that you can't purchase it, you can. Or a hand grenade, right? They're just difficult to come by, and in part because the market says so, but everybody, like you said, is so caught up on the notion of guns. Arms isn't even really necessarily guns. We could have stopped it at swords. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so arbitrary and so vague in terms of how the Second Amendment is written in the first place. But to your point again, Winston, yeah, Myanmar is going through it, but there are a whole lot of other civilized nations that aren't, that don't have that right.
Yeah, I see your point.
Have we covered all your topics that you wanted to cover today, Cheryl?
You did. Yes. We did. And we went smoothly from one to the next, actually. And so, yes, we did. We covered all the topics I wanted to cover. But like I always say, you know, stuff, the news happens so quickly in our world today that sometimes it's hard to prepare in advance because things pop up. And this wasn't on our list, but this popped up. So I'm going to throw it in here right as we're about to close out. I just want to make sure that everybody has seen the video of the guy, the Latino guy, Black Latino guy in his new truck, who is in the National Guard, I believe. And he's driving down the street with his temporary license plate in his window, and the police stop him and draw their guns. So everybody has seen that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And now he's suing that police department, and I believe those particular police officers, for excessive force. And in a world of George Floyd, when I heard the policeman say, get on the ground, as soon as he said that, I was like, you know, your wording, really, you need to say something else, because I can see why the guy didn't want to get on the ground. I mean, I can see that anyway, but that, it just took you right to George Floyd. So
no, I wish I could go get a new truck right now, because that brother's going to get paid. That he did that at the exact right time. He's going to get paid. You know?
And he'll be doing some appearances here and there. He'll be speaking. They just hooked him up. Meanwhile, Buster will still be back there fighting for his job since he effed up. You know, it goes to the fact that the people with the most power in our society, the power of life and death, are among the dumbest people that we have for civil servants. And when we were kids, if my mom got on dad, whatever, got on one of my brothers and sisters for something, okay, and came down on them hard, the rest of us learned from that. We'd, okay, I ain't doing that. Okay, look what happened to Steve. These cats, man, see what's going up in Minnesota and other places. They continue with the same old dumbass shit because white folks, no matter what, still see themselves as individuals. We live as individuals. That's him. That's not me. And the guy told me, he says, I'm kind of afraid to get out of the car. Well, you should be. You know, I mean, just, Brooke, the ignorance, see themselves as unattached to all these other things that are going on. Millions, literally millions of dollars coming out of city coffers and state coffers and county coffers, all right, to pay for their stupidity. And they continue because they figure, hey, I'm able to do these things. I've been brought up to think I can do these things with impunity. Nothing's going to happen to me. Don't get it.
That's such a good point, because the cop even said to the guy, he said, I don't understand that. You know, I've had a lot of people that I pulled over, da da da, and it's always the Black people and the other minorities that pull over into, like, they have to drive on to pull over into a light.
Like, you don't understand why that's happening.
And I'm like, so what does that tell you, fool?
Nothing.
Did everybody hear? Look, at the end, now the fool knows he's on camera. He says to the Black guy, my chief has said we can make this go away. There's no need to have this on your record. Then the idiot says, it's not going to change my life one way or the other, what you do. You know, that wasn't what he was supposed to be saying. He had a chance to maybe make this go away.
Maybe slither out, yeah. But once again, the dumbest of all our public servants, okay, have the most power over life and death. And that's just something screwed up about that.
The other thing about our policing culture that I think showed out in terms of how backwards it is in terms of law enforcement. But here you were, you had two police officers, both wearing body cams, pulling over this person, both of them feeling well within themselves, feeling like they had the right to harass this man until the medic showed up. Then all of a sudden they get nice, right? Then also, if you had just done this, this would have, but wouldn't have gone this way. And how about if you hadn't acted a fool, this would not have gone this way. Like, come on.
That I was just don't see.
But they feel emboldened in face of each other. Like they have to be stupider than the next person.
But why are you even, and particularly in the world of George Floyd now, but even without that, why do you feel it necessary to pull a gun on somebody when you're stopping them because of a license plate? You know, unless something really crazy has happened, you know, why you would feel, let me draw my gun. Let me threaten to kill him because he didn't have, there was no probable cause of a crime or anything, you know,
but
you're just ready to kill somebody right off the bat.
Sure, I can fathom that, but how do you mace a man who has on an army uniform with both of his hands outside of the window facing you? How do you justify that in court? He was still dangerous to me. I don't get it.
Because they're in fear of every black man. Anybody that's brown strikes fear of them, at least for a millisecond.
No. I think it's even something different, Mike. It's the same reason that Matt Gaetz can still show pictures to his boys even after the Me Too movement. Like, it's just stupidity. It is brazen, privileged stupidity.
Mike, it may be just as simple as how in the world can this nigga afford a truck and I can't?
Oh, there's some of that there. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, those people like that, the Trumpsters, I call those people the gum on the bottom of white America's shoe, okay? They are the bottom, okay? Like I said, Jeff Foxworthy made a whole lot of money making fun of his own people, but you might be a redneck. And they had to sit there and listen to that while one of their own made jokes about being a redneck. And black people sat there and laughed at it as well as they did. Yeah, these people feel disenfranchised. I want to bring up a point for maybe next week, and I'm going to send everybody a video. A little bit of a bragging here. My son was on PBS NewsHour, and it's about General Austin. Maybe we could talk about it next week. Had a stand down to talk about extremism in the military. And I'll send everybody out that clip. We could talk about it next week. Cool. But it's like everywhere. It's been overlooked or ignored. And during the Army-Navy game, one of the young cadets in West Point gave what was the white power sign, something like that, I'm not certain. And they all, that's not what it was, but that's what it was, okay? And so it's a little piece that General Austin, the Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin, is putting together for all Army, Navy, and Air Force bases. I wanna watch how that's going, but they're looking at extremism in the military, because you wanna take over the country, now you can put those rednecks in charge, okay? And I'll send that out for you guys to take a look, and we can talk about it next week. And Cheryl, can we talk about John Boehner's book next week, please, please? We're just knocking the heck out of Republicans. It's called On the House.
I've been hearing that one.
I'd like to talk about
it. So we already got a lot to talk about next week. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of topics. So yeah, we'll prepare all that, and we'll let folks know that's what we're going to talk about, so they'll tune in. But y'all got me tired, particularly on that last one.
It's stupidity.
Yeah, because I did my last comment. I did want to say to Brooke, you know, I think it's stupidity, but I think it's a stupidity that is based in entitlement and supremacy, because you're only that stupid because you think you got it like that. I can do this because I got it like this, you know? And black people know that they don't have it like this. So that's why we don't do those. We might do some other things, but we don't do that stuff because we know.
If you've ever read Who Moved My Cheese, which was a business book. It's about, there are the people who've gone there and found that their cheese is no longer there, but they refuse to see that that's over. They keep going back to the same place looking for cheese, and all they find is embarrassment and lawsuits and unfortunately death and maim and injury for many of us. They just can't accept that That cheese is no longer there. Okay.
It seems like it's going to take a while for some folks to accept some facts. So,
yes.
But, you know, we're going to keep talking about it, you know, because I think that helps. I really do. So I want to thank you all. I want to thank the Old School News crew one more time for joining me in a discussion about the hottest topics of the day. I want to thank Mike Easterling.
You're welcome.
And I want to thank Brooke Barrick.
Better late than never.
See, I didn't even say anything. I just let you slip on in there like you've been there all along. Because we lost Sheila. She had to step out. So she canceled out just a little while ago. But I want to thank Sheila Gaskins for being here. And also Winston Thomas.
Have a great week. Have a great week, everybody.
Women, your voice was so low that time. I couldn't even hear that. So
you had to say that again. Have a great week, everyone.
Oh, is that what you said? Oh, okay. Yes. That baritone was way down there. Okay. So if you'd like to be a guest, please contact me at yourgirlcheryl@gmail.com or go to the website, yourgirlcheryl.net, and hear some past episodes of the podcast. We talk about everything. Everything. I think we have some very unique views at times, but always from an old school point of view. So thanks so much for joining us, and we're going to check you out next time. All right, well, you'll check us out next time. Thanks, everybody.